Hi, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Not So Nice Girl. I am your host and recovering nice girl, Natalie Volpicelli. And today we're going to be talking about something that I think is extremely pertinent in probably a lot of people's lives. It's one of the biggest portions of our lives, and that is friends and friendship. And specifically, I'm going to be talking about kind of transitions in friendships and how that looks. This is something that's really pertinent to me and to a lot of my close friends. It's something that I feel like we're always talking about. Myself and most of my friends and close family members are, you know, mid to late 20s. And it's a really weird time, I'm not gonna lie. You know, obviously COVID threw a wrench in a lot of that too, but it's a weird time to you know, go from 20 plus years of your friends kind of in a way being picked for you. You know, there's school age, there's geographical limiting factors, and then, you know, maybe you do, maybe you don't, but then there's college, and that's kind of, you know, maybe you join a sorority or fraternity, or maybe you join certain clubs and they're just kind of picked for you. And then you enter adulthood and most of your friends probably move in different directions and you have to meet new people and make friends. And it's always such a weird battle of trying to make new friends and value your friendships where you are while also maintaining or maybe letting go of some old friendships. And that's something that's really hard to do. I think a lot of people, we joke about it, but it's so, so true. Friend breakups are hard. You know, it hits a whole other level than a breakup. And I think that's why some breakups, when you are friends or you're intertwined with each other's friend groups, that makes it so much harder, because losing friends is such a painful experience. And so a lot of my friends, like I said, have been talking to me about this and I've been talking to them about this. And it's just something that we're constantly discussing. So I dove into the research and I, you know, kind of started in the bare bones of what the purpose of friendships are. And I already kind of touched on this in the first episode. You know, we are social beings. We want to be part of social groups. So friends are kind of our way of doing that. It's the ones that we choose, you know, and I think that also is a very hard thing to come to terms with. And that's something that research says is super unique about friendships, because families, even partners, so even who you're dating, and then obviously if you have kids, there's an underwritten contract in a lot of those relationships to put them first, you know? So like put family first, put your significant other first. Obviously, if you have kids, put them first. And friends, it's more murky. And so research says that if there's a big change in your life, if there's a big shift in your emotion or as you change, because there really isn't this guideline, I guess, and there isn't really this set expectation, and no one expects you to be like, here's what I need out of my friends, and sit down with your friends and say that. It's more about a feeling, you know, and your expectations for your friends and what you give to your friends may differ as well as you age. So it has the potential to hurt so much greater, because it's so much more malleable and so much more susceptible to any rift or change in your life or their life. And I think that's really, really key and important to know, because I don't think that's a bad thing. So obviously, you know, there could be this big explosion, or maybe you're going through something very intense and your friend isn't supporting you on that. That can obviously cause tension, but then it could be something smaller. Like, you just finished a phase in your life. Be it college, that's a very common one. You're not next to each other. You served each other super well in college, but now you're just different. You're moved on. You're in different places. It's harder to connect. And it may not be that you're missing as much as you were when you were with them in college. And I think we read into that a lot. And of course, you don't want to lose friends. You urge to have friends. You want to be social. You also don't want anyone to think like you hate them, obviously. But that's such an easy transition that can cause a rift in friendship. And it's not this attack or anything. It's just you're both transitioning in life and you served each other well and you were there for each other at the point of life that you were with each other. And now it's time to move on. So that kind of piece and a little bit more is kind of this idea, you know, that side of it, but then also the fact that, and I think a lot of people do know this, but we don't remind ourselves enough. If you think about your parents, the source of your friendships is different throughout life. And if you think about your parents' closest friends now, they maybe have one or two, or maybe like a small group, really close friends. And you know, like you may be like, that's my aunt, that's my uncle, or whatever. And they're not actually, they're just your parents' really close friend. But there's really only like one or two of those. Majority of them are from circumstances now, you know, you were friends with that person's kids. So your parents became friends, or they met volunteering for something, or they met at work. And those are also kind of like coincidental friends, and they may come or go as well. But as you get older, what research shows is your friend group network decreases a lot. And part of that is because of the first thing that I was talking about is family, especially kids, becomes much more of a priority. If you get married, your partner becomes much more of a priority. They're expected to be put first. Maybe as you're getting older, you're also, on top of that, taking care of your parents. They come first, friends come next. So part of that is that transition, but I also think part of that is as you're going through and you're changing, you're constantly evaluating, is this person changing with me in a way that I like, or is this person resistant to how I'm growing and changing? Whether it be for good or for bad, you know, sometimes you're changing for the worse and they don't want to be a part of that. And again, it's like that flip side of your friend changes and that's not something you want to be a part of anymore. And you have to let that go. Maybe you'll come back later. But it's that idea that, again, we constantly forget we cast our net so wide as we're young and we try so hard, especially with social media, especially with phones and technology, we try so hard to keep those friendships connected. And while so many of them are great and are worth keeping, there are some that it's okay to let go and it doesn't have to be this big rift, because it's just you are both in a different phase in your life. So with that being said, I think it's important. Again, I'll reiterate, you start with tons of friends. Your whole world is your friends. I mean, think back to high school, think back to college. And then your priorities start shifting. And research shows that you have less people that you consider friends. However, those friendships that you are considering are way stronger. The bond is way tighter because your priorities and your understanding of who you are is clearer. And if that's clearer, you're going to align yourself with people that fit into that well. Or if they're friends from long ago, they changed and adapted with you, or you changed and adapted with them, building your bond and understanding that they're with you, basically. So it becomes tighter, it becomes stronger. So that kind of leads me to, I'm talking with my friends, I'm doing this research, I'm going through my own experiences, and I kind of came up with these five types of friends. And before I even say them, the names are working. They're working. You know, I might open to suggestion, but these are just kind of like what I first went to. And some of them might have a bad connotation, but bear with me. Because I don't think any of these friends are like, you never want to have this friend. This is the worst possible friend. I'm going to go in like worst to best. And there is going to be some that are very clearly not as great. But I think each friendship has the potential to cause a lot of growth while also cause a lot of pain if they're ended at any stage. So, what are those five ones? The first one is the bloodsucker. So, like I said, it's not great, but we'll workshop it, guys. Okay. So it's the bloodsucker, the drainer, the filler, the shooting stars, and the rocks. And in a sense, I kind of start from worse and they get better or closer. But again, just bear with me. So we'll start off with the first one, and that's the bloodsucker. So this is someone who you give, they take. And I think people experience this in a lot of different degrees. I know for me, I do tend to always give more in my friendships, and I've accepted that to a certain extent. And there have been friends in the past that take a lot more from me, or someone who's very good at setting boundaries, but this person does just take. So that's kind of the bloodsucker. They're almost sucking the life out of you in a sense without actually giving much back. So I know what you're gonna ask me, because you're gonna be like, why the fuck is that good? That sounds awful. And it is. Like, I'm not gonna sit here and be like, all of your friends should be bloodsuckers. No. But I think that it needs to be included, because it's unreasonable to assume you won't ever experience those types of people in your life. They're super common, and they might not even be doing it really on purpose. They might be going through something in their life where they're just in much more of a selfish phase, and they haven't really understood where they're supposed to stand. But it's important for you and your growth, because when you have these people in your life, you start to learn how to set boundaries, and you start to learn how to kind of, as they say, like, fill your buckets. What are you going to prioritize in your friendships? And who are you going to prioritize in your friendships? And set those boundaries of, if they start taking, or if you're a giver and you want to give, to what point are you going to say, I'm done, I'm over it, no more? So that's the first one. And again, while I don't recommend, like, please don't have all of your friends be that. You can't avoid them, I guess, is the thing I'm trying to say, is you're going to interact with them, and viewing it more as a learning experience, and knowing that those people are out there and exist and can really make it seem like you're best friends, but they're really kind of taken from you. It's a good thing to acknowledge and know. because you may not even realize that they're sucking the life out of you. Okay, so the next one. The drainer. So again, it's kind of on the lower scale, I guess, of what you want your friends to be, but it's not necessarily bad, and everyone has different tolerances for this. Obviously, introverts, a lot of people, maybe even most all social interactions could be pretty draining for them. But I think we all know the type of people that I'm referring to, and maybe it's kind of like your party crew, but they're people that after hanging out with them, like, you're like, I need a fucking nap, or I don't really want to talk to anyone. And you might have a blast with them. They might be great. They might be nice. They might be amazing. They're just at a different level than you, whether that's too much or that's, you know, you are having to kind of go out of your way to pull stuff out of them. It can go both sides. It's not like, oh, extroverts are drainers. No, I mean, introverted friends can be just as draining if you're trying to kind of fit their needs and fit their level of comfort. That takes a lot of energy too. And again, it's not to say that like extroverts and introverts can't be friends. It's not to say that like these two people can't be friends. They can still have a really good bond, but it's just a bit harder because you feel like work has to be put in to this friendship. And while all friendships, there's going to be work, any relationship, there's going to be work, there's going to be effort put in, these people require just a bit more, which is still okay, and they still can be good friends. But they may just serve a purpose at some point and then not so much later. So the next one is filler. And I know that sounds really bad because it makes them seem like extras. But like, that's kind of the idea. And fillers are friends that you can still be really close. You're comfortable around. You can talk to them very well. Maybe you're similar in a lot of ways. You just haven't quite hit that next level with them. And you may never intend to. You know, they're people that, like, they're always in a group chat with you. You don't really talk one-on-one with them. And you can still feel like you have like a close bond and you're close to them, but you just don't, you know, if something happens, they're not necessarily going to be your first call. And you might not be theirs. And I think this one is a little hard to handle because when we give energy and when we align these, I feel like most often, I don't know if they always align well. Like, I may think that someone's a filler and they may think of me as closer of a friend or vice versa. For me, it's usually vice versa, where like they're the person I talk to and like I am not their first go-to. And that is something that's really hard to accept or acknowledge. And then on top of that, I think that with fillers, there's this unease to this idea that friends can be transitional and that this friend could be great and amazing and you could have so much fun with them during this point in your life, but that they don't need to be your lifetime everything. They're kind of serving you a purpose. And I know that makes it seem selfish, but I think thinking about it in this realistic way can be very helpful. That at this point in my life, so take college, like if you were in college and you're friends with this group of people, maybe sorority, maybe sports, maybe just a club or class, they're serving you and your friends, and you'll go out together and you'll go to lunch together and hang out and you'll bond, but you're not their number one. They're not your number one. And you don't need it to continue much further than that. They're important for that moment in your life. But then you move past that moment in your life and they may not serve you. It may not even be that it's like they don't serve you, that you've changed, they've changed. It's not a good relationship anymore. It could literally just be the effort I'm trying to put into staying connected to you isn't exactly worth what I'm getting back. And we're so quick to say that that's a bad thing, but I think we both can notice it and acknowledge it, of it may not be reciprocal, it may not be an even trade, and sometimes it's fine to just let things fizzle, of like, we were really close then, but we both kind of moved on from that point in our life. And it's kind of like, like if you fail an exam once, you may think it's like a really big deal in high school or something. You'll be freaking out. And yes, that will always kind of stay with you in a way and carry with you. But 10, 12, 20 years from now, if someone brought up that test, you'd be like, oh yeah. But it's not on your mind constantly. And I think that's kind of what these people are. And I think that's honestly the bulk of our friendships, which is kind of the intention, is to serve you socially wherever you are in your life. And then maybe they kind of, you know, quote unquote, level up to a closer friend, or they fizzle out. And that's okay. That's actually normal and expected. And it doesn't have to be this big thing. So next, kind of moving in, is the shooting stars. And I think this is the type of friend that is so important, but definitely has the most potential for pain. Like, these are the type of people, when you have a friend breakup, that's what you're referring to usually, are these type of people. And they also, same with fillers, this is where they, a lot of times, it may not be this reciprocal view. Like, you view them as this, as like this person that you, you know, that you're, they're your number one, and they may not view that back or whatever it is. But these shooting stars, just like, you know, the name refers to, are bright, intense, beautiful friendships, but they're quick and they fizzle out in the end. And there's, you know, if we're really going to go into the metaphor of this all, an analogy of this all, you know, there's a lot of hope and wishing that may not come true. So these are your friends that in that moment in your life, they were your closest friends. They are someone that you considered your number one. And you feel like a deep bond with them, deep connection. And this may be just because of like, you just vibe really well with them and you're just really close. Or maybe because like you spend a lot of time together. Or, you know, this is when also I think it comes in with like trauma bonding, unfortunately. It's this intense connection and you feel really, really close to them. And you put in a lot of energy. And I think it can go vice versa too. They could put in a lot of energy too. And then it ends, for better or for worse. Sometimes it's, you know, they move and you just can't make it work. or maybe this, like I said, the friend breakups, something happens, usually when, you know, things aren't aligned or one person starts changing and they really liked you as this person. You know, this happens a lot too with like friends who they're in their single era together and they're so bonded by this. There's usually something really bonding with them, whether that's, you know, trauma, whether that's they're single together, whatever it is, something really bonds them. And a lot of times, like, the one person gets a boyfriend and all hell breaks loose. Because the other person is like, you don't have time for me anymore. I used to be your number one and now he's your number one or she's your number one. Like, that's usually kind of where these shooting stars happen. Or something, usually something kind of big comes up and you start seeing kind of the cracks in your friendship. Or like some big event in your life happens, albeit like you got into a really good college and maybe they got jealous of it. Or like maybe it's something even more serious, like there's a death in your family or your family member is sick. And you're finding that they're not really supporting you the way that you thought they might. And these cracks kind of start coming and it starts kind of sizzling and fizzling out. And that seems really bad because, like I said, they have the potential to hurt a lot and cause a lot of distress. But they're so important because they're so ingrained in a period in your life where if they weren't there, you probably wouldn't have gotten through that period of your life in the same manner that you did. I mean, for better or for worse, but a lot of times, you know, for better, like they, it, your single era, you know, they're your go-to person to go out with or, you know, hype you up before a date or talk shit after a date or something like that. And then they get a boyfriend and it stings and it hurts. And you're like, okay, I feel left out. And the shooting stars are the ones that this change happens in your life or their life or something, or, you know, something else draws one of the players' attention or the bond that was really strong, you know, a lot of times like this trauma bond ends. Or, you know, like I have a lot of people, you know, from treatment that we were so bonded by treatment. And some moved on, some didn't. And if you stay with the people that didn't move on, that can honestly be triggering and really hurtful for your own personal growth. So there's a lot of different instances and people can respond and react in so many different ways to this. And it's the people that kind of adjust and change with each other. And that's not to say feelings can't get hurt along the way, but that they stay together, that we kind of hit this next level of friends. And it is a very, very rare level. But that's your rock. We all know this saying. This isn't like a new saying that I'm making up. It's the person that is always there. And they adapt and change with you. They've seen you go through ups and downs. You've watched them go through ups and downs, but you stay together. You stick with one another. Rocks cannot happen if you aren't adapting and changing and giving and taking. Because if you're not following that ebb and flow of life, it's just not gonna work. People change. People move. People start new jobs. People have other, you know, shooting stars that may take their attention away, or maybe they have a significant other that takes their attention away. And again, that's not to say that you can't get offended or you can't have like your little friend fights, but the rocks are the ones that stay and they don't blow these little ripples out of proportion. They accept them for what they are. And again, they stay. And these rocks are usually the type of people, I think we fall into this fallacy of like, my best friends are the ones that I talk to every single day and I see all the time. And honestly, my own experience are those people that I talk to every single day. I mean, unless, you know, sometimes you live with them and that's just life. But like those people that you talk to every single day, nonstop, and you're constantly going out with their stuff are usually more of your shooting stars or your fillers. And maybe one or two of them are your rocks, but like your rocks are the ones that you feel super confident that you could go months and months without really talking. Or like we kind of joke now in these days, like we communicate through memes, like I'll send you a meme, you send me a meme. But like when I get back together with them and we're in the same room or we call or text or talk, it's like nothing's changed. Like we're still right there. We're still close to each other. If anything were to happen and I called them, they'd pick up immediately. Like they'd be there. For me, it's really funny because like my rocks or two of them, we've never gone to the same school. We've barely ever lived, you know, now we live in like different states or areas, but you know, when we couldn't drive, living one city over is a different country. So like we never lived close to each other. We became close with gymnastics and that doesn't matter. You know, like they're still the person that if I were to reach out to them, they'd be there 100%. And they would support me 100%. And we get back together every so often and have a reunion. And literally, it's like no time has passed. Like we are just each other's rocks. And that's what like I also want to talk about because like I said, with this fallacy and with shooting stars and with, you know, fillers. And even with the other two ones, they become such a big part of your life. When I was researching teenagers and 20 to 25 year olds spend the most amount of time with their friends, which makes sense. I mean, they don't have a lot of other commitments. They're usually not in serious long-term relationships. I'm sorry if I offended anyone, but that's usually the case. So their friends really are their whole world and they spend about like 10 to 25 hours a week with those friends. So that's a big part of your life. And if I were to tell you like, yeah, you might not talk to this person in 5 years, you'd probably tell me to go fuck off because they're your best friends. That's my BFF. That's, we are getting tattoos together, whatever it is. But in the reality of the situation, and I go all the way back to the beginning, think about your parents, think about, or, you know, an adult figure. They have situational friends and then they have their rocks. And the rocks are the ones that stay with them throughout it all. And the rest of the people, they probably had, I mean, 50 plus people cycle in and out and in and out. And they may have been so important at one point. But they were really just important for that one point. And they were necessary and needed and valuable for that one point, but they don't serve them any longer. And the other fallacy that I think we also fall into is like this history fallacy. You know, my rocks are from childhood, but I also have some rocks that I met way later in life. And part of that was because I understood who I was better. So I held on to friendships and maintained friendships. I say way later in life. I'm literally like 25, 26, so it's not that much later. But, you know, I valued my friendships differently and I valued certain people differently because I am grown. And I'm sure that's going to continue and change and evolve when I'm older. And you'll find, you know, some that was what a lot of like the friendship research was about, was, you know, really young ages and then elder friendships, because you are very secure in your values and you're very sure of what's important to you. And so you find people that match and fit into that. And that means that they can form a really deep bond with you. Because if you're, you know, opposites do not attract, that's not what psychology tells us. You go with people that you align with. That is most common. So if you have very set values, very set ideas for what you want out of a friendship, you find someone that fits those ideas, you can still have that deep bond way, 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 way deeper than someone you may know for years and years and years. Because also that person that has known you for years and years and years could at any point hold on to whatever version was most salient to them. So that could be, you know, maybe you went through a bad phase and you grew out of it, but they're holding on to that one phase and, you know, kind of faking it, being like, no, it's fine. We're fine now. Everything's great for some reason or another. And then you kind of stay friends, even though you weren't totally serving each other, or they kind of saw you not how you want to see you, just because you have been friends for a while. And that doesn't help anyone. That doesn't lead for a genuine and authentic friendship if you're constantly evolving and they're not keeping up with you, or vice versa. And that can happen in both ways. And I don't think anyone's really at fault. That's just the nature of how things are when you've known someone for super long. Okay, so I have talked so much about this, and I honestly could go on and on, because again, I think this is, especially at my age and maybe your ages, or if like your mom and your kids' ages, it's so salient and so relevant in our lives right now, for better or for worse. But I think it's so important to remind yourself and listen and re-listen, because understanding kind of these underworkings and understanding and thinking long-term, which is really hard to do in the moment, don't get me wrong, and understand that people are supposed to come in and out of your life. You know, we say it all the time for significant others. We're like, you know, Taylor Swift, all the girls you loved before, like, thanks to all of them, or, you know, I'm happy you found your way. All those heartbreaks made me who I am, and now I found the person I love. And we talk about it all the time for relationships, but we don't really talk about it in friendships. And I think that honestly, these friendships that come and go and all of that are way more important than these random exes that you may have, or random, you know, situationships that ended. Because especially the ones, you know, if they were so salient and so important for that one point in time, and then it kind of fizzled out, or grappling with understanding your boundaries, what you want, what you need, you're practicing for future relationships and all of this. And you're also deciding who you want to be, who you want to associate with, because that identifies you. So reminding yourself of like, I can identify as one thing at this time, and that just may not serve me now. Or this person sees me in this way, and I don't want to be how they see me. Will they change with me or not? And if they don't, it's okay to let go. it's completely fine and it might hurt. It's going to suck. Or you may have a toxic relationship with one of your friends and it could hurt letting them go. But you're gaining so much more by shifting into this next stage of your life. And if they come with you, or if you go with them in that next stage, that bond is so much tighter and so much stronger. Okay. Well, I'd love to hear from you guys about your experiences. I'd love to hear about friend breakups from you. Especially it's a tricky situation because like you're going to talk to your friends about this. So please DM me or chat with me about this. I'd love to hear your experiences. And I think real life experiences like this would be really helpful to share with other people. So I don't know, maybe we'll do a part two after, you know, we've talked more with other people about their experience and share kind of some of these real life examples to really solidify and give concrete ideas and pictures of each of these, you know, quote unquote, five friends and credence to the research and the findings that are out there with friendship and friends. So thank you guys again for chatting with me. And I can't wait to talk to you next week.